Turn Isaiah 43. The rest of the announcements are in there. You can read them yourself. Isaiah 43, and beginning in verse 16, and we're going to talk about the subject of the old and the new work together. The old and the new work together. Isaiah 43, verse 16. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Now, we've actually talked over the last few weeks, almost mainly coincidentally. I've been speaking out of Isaiah a lot. But this particular passage is also about the period of time that the Jewish people were exiled in Babylon, and now they were about to come back. They were about to return to Israel, back to the promised land, to Israel. And yet they hadn't yet come back yet. And so what the Lord says in this passage here, if you look closely in verse 19, that's really the focus of this talk. Verse 19, he says, see or behold, I'm doing a new thing. And the question is, why is the Lord interested in doing a new thing? Part of it is, you have to understand, these folks, they had experienced the glory of the first temple era, when Israel had been the reigning kingdom around the earth, and now they'd been exiled to a foreign land, and it was kind of like they were remembering, you know, when the Lord drew them out of Egypt, and all the great miracles, and all the plagues, and so on. And so it was like, wow, this is the way it was. Could it ever be this way again? I mean, you know, it's just, is there any chance? I mean, why can't it be the way it was? And notice what the Lord's saying is, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Amen? I want everybody to say that with me. Say, behold, I'm doing a new thing. You see, God wants to do a new thing in your life as well as in my life, as well as them. He wants to do a new thing. Now, what's interesting about this passage, and really about the Scriptures and about the Lord and about the Jewish people and His kingdom and everything else, is that there's actually a lot of focus on the past. That's the funny part. In fact, there is many, many places in the Scripture that talks about us, tells us the need to remember. The Hebrew word for remember is zachor. It's to remember the past. And what are we to remember according to the Scriptures? We remember the deeds of the Lord so that we can pass them on from generation to generation. We remember that when God delivered His people out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, and the great opening of the Red Sea, we remember the giving of the Torah and the promises. We remember Yeshua's life and Yeshua's death and His resurrection. These are all things that we remember. And it's important for us to remember where we've come from and God's dealings with our lives. You see, it's not like all of a sudden we just start over all the time and our past doesn't matter. No, our past is very relevant because God wants us to remember what He has done for us individually in the past to keep us going. And yet, there's sometimes a danger with the past. Hear me. Because sometimes we want to live in the past, okay? Sometimes we want to live off the past experiences. We remember the way it was at one time and say, wow, can it be like that again? And you know what? The answer is no. It's not going to be that way. Because God's saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. You see, it's not that the past was so great, it can't be that way again. No, the past was great, but the future is greater. You see, because in God, there's always movement forward. He wants us to do, He's doing a new thing. And the problem, like I said, is that so often, especially when we're going through low times, or maybe not low, but just kind of the dullard period. Okay, you know what I mean by the dullard period? It's like nothing too hot's happening. It's kind of mediocre. It's like you're just kind of hanging in there. And then you begin to get bored with that. And you begin to think back, wow, I remember the way it was at this point when I experienced the Lord in this way, or something happened to me in that way. And it's like, wow, I wish it could be like that. But God's saying, I'm doing a new thing. Now, the other thing about this is that we feel like the good news about the new thing from the Lord is that even if we've blown it in our lives, okay, even if we've really messed up, or we think we have, or we begin to wonder, is my life a waste, or is it going any place? You know what the Lord says about that? This is a promise in the book of Lamentations. It's the most depressing book in the Bible, really it is, because it's at the period where God has brought judgment upon Israel, and the prophet Jeremiah is walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and he's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. And in the midst of all of this terrible horror and everything else, this is what he says: God's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He said, no matter what you and I may have done with our lives and some of the wrong choices that we have made, and folks, there are consequences to wrong choices. Okay? It's not like, oh, well, I've made a wrong choice, then I can turn to the Lord and everything is made nice and everything else and I don't have to be accountable for the past. No, it's not true. Okay? There are consequences for wrong choices. But the beauty of it is that God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. So no matter how difficult or bad a situation you've gotten yourself into, God can turn that thing around and bring it for His glory. Never think that all is lost. God can renew anything. And the tricky part, which Isaiah 43 talks about, is when he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. This is the tricky part. You see, if we've gotten off track, God cannot necessarily get us back, put us back to the place where we got off track. But what he's going to do is he's going to put us back on track at a new place. And so what's going to end up happening is that God's experiences are going to be different. And God can use wherever you are right now, He can transform a disaster into His purposes. It doesn't make any difference because the Scripture says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Was it God's will for the Israelites to have fallen into terrible depravity and to be exiled into Babylon? No, of course it wasn't His will. They completely blew it. But God wasn't saying, okay, well, I'm punting you out of here forever. You know, you screwed up and you're out. You know, He doesn't say that. He says, yes, you did mess up your life. You did bring ruin upon the nation of Israel. But He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. You see, it's that another thing that God's going to do. He's going to take those things, those decisions and choices that we've made, and He's going to turn them around, and He's going to use them in our lives to bring glory to His name. That's the beauty of God. And you know what's wonderful about God is His ways are always new. In a sense, He never repeats Himself. You see, that's the tricky part. This is the tricky part. We all, you know, this day and age, in the believing community, we have more books available to us than at any time in all of human history. Books about walking with God. Books about how to pray. Books about how to fast. Books about how to feast. You know, books about the Bible. There's all these other, there's books and books and books. Books about how to, you know, walk with God, draw near to the Lord, witness, do all these things, on and on and on and on and on. And all these books use examples, and some of them are testimony books and all these other kinds of things. But you know what? And there's a good thing about the books, because they do describe often God's ways and events, and it brings glory to His name. But the danger is this, is that we read a book and we think, okay, God worked it that way, this way, that way, that time, and so now He's going to work this way at this time. The same way at this time is the way He worked that way at that time. And that's the problem. Because God doesn't always do things the same as He did before. In fact, He rarely does. Because the Scripture says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And if you are waiting for the old thing, or the way, or you're trying to fall into a pattern, or conform yourself to a pattern of the way it worked before, it may not be the way God wants to work right now. You see, because God wants to do a new thing, says the Lord. That's the beauty. But now here's the funny part of it all, is that the new thing is actually an old thing. Okay? Well, what do you mean by that? It's because God's plans, His ultimate plans, they never change. And you know what God's ultimate plan is? It's real simple. It's restoration. There's a Hebrew word for restoration. Who knows what that word is? Tikkun. In fact, in Jewish tradition, there's this concept called Tikkun HaOlam, which means the restoration of the world. God's desire is to restore the world to what He planned in the beginning. And God is always working to restore us to Him, to restore our relationships with one another when they get breached or when things come up or there's breakdowns in families. God's goal is always to restore. And it's always His plan to restore us to His plan for our lives and for the whole earth. God is always working that way. Now, this is what makes it tricky, is that God uses new ways to accomplish old plans. See, that's the part. God's plans, ultimate plans, don't change, but His methods do change. That's the difference. And we have to keep our ear, to the rails to listen and to hear what God is doing now to bring about His restoration in our lives. In a sense, the cycles of life kind of depict how God works with humanity all of the time. It's similar to the Lord. It's a reflection. The cycles of life are a reflection of who He is and how He works. Let me give you an example. There's many references in the Scriptures to one who trusts in God is like a tree who's been planted firmly by a stream of water. That's often a typical kind of depiction of a man of God. And I want us to consider for a second a full-grown tree. Maybe there's a tree in your yard that is particularly big, or in some wooded area that's, not in the forest where they all kind of get crunched in a little bit, but like a big tree that's fully grown, okay? And just picture that tree in your mind for a second, all right? Now, from year to year, when that tree is fully grown, that tree doesn't change a whole lot, okay? But what does change? Every year, there's new leaves and new fruit, okay? And that's the Lord. You see, the Lord is like this tree who's always there, immovable, unchanging. But His mercies and His ways are new all the time. And the fruit of that tree can bring healing to many, many people, you see? But the key is to be aware of what is the fruit for this season that God is trying to bring into your life. You see, the past is important to us because it's a testimony of God's faithfulness to us from generation to generation, and it helps us to have a rootedness for direction in our lives. Otherwise, we can get way off track. Let me give you some examples of the importance of the past. Every year, we celebrate the Passover Seder. Now, why do we celebrate the Passover Seder? Just because it's a commandment to do it? No. We celebrate the Passover Seder to remember what God did, okay? To re-experience His deliverance from the Egyptians during that period, and to remember how Yeshua also fulfills the Passover Seder. So we do this every year. We come here on Shabbat as a testimony to the past, because it's a way of remembering His creation. It's a way of remembering what God wants to do week in and week out, and so on and so forth. And then we do certain liturgical things here as a way to connect us to the past so that we remember the way God was and what His plans were from the beginning. And turn with me just for a second to Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is what we say every week, but I want us all to read it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Deuteronomy 6, 1. It says this. These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them as on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And these things, every week, when we do the Shema, and we do the Via Hafta, we repeat these things every week. And they are, why? Because they are reminders of God's faithfulness. Why are we just supposed to have the scriptures in front of us all the time, in front of our foreheads, as if it's staring us in the face? To remind us of God's faithfulness and keep us on track with God. That's why we do these things of the past. But you see, the problem with the past is that sometimes these things can become a ritual only, okay? And we must learn to incorporate God's new things with the old. Let me tell you this. The old without the new can become dry and irrelevant. Hear me. But the new without the old can become erratic and dangerous. There's a need for both, okay? There's a need for the rootedness of the past, but God's new way, God's new word, because it's flowing in the present and it speaks to us exactly where we are. Now, how do we find God's new way? In other words, he's saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Okay, what is it, Lord? You know, it's like, okay, where's the beef? Lord, you're telling me it's a new thing, but what is this new thing? How do I find the new thing of the Lord? Okay, remember what I said before, I quoted from Lamentations. It says that God's mercies are new every morning. Now, if God's mercies are new every morning, then don't we want to know what they are? It's like, yes, God's mercies can fall upon you accidentally. You know, even if you aren't aware of what they are, God's mercies will be. But isn't it, don't you think it's valuable to know what those mercies are every morning? Here, turn with me to Psalm 5 for a second. Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3. It says this. Excuse me. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Why do we lay our requests before the Lord and wait in expectation? It's because his mercies are new every morning. And he wants us to find out what the mercies are, what his plans are, what he's speaking to our lives, what he wants to do for us this very day. See, when the Lord says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, you know what? The new thing he wants to do is every day. God wants to do something new for you every day. It's not supposed to be, yes, I get up every morning, I just do this ritualistic prayer, and then I just go through my day as if I'm blind to anything and so on. And we can fall into the same trap. God wants to speak to you every day. God's mercies are new every morning. And he wants to speak to you and make your life relevant and fill your life up and give you life purpose. That's what this is all about. Otherwise, why are we coming here? I mean, we're just wasting our time. If it's not real, you know, we're not here to play religion, you know. We're here because we want life to be different. We want to experience the power of God. We want to hear God's voice and his words to us. That's going to change your life and draw us closer to him and make our life more rewarding and fulfilling and bring glory to his name. That's what this is all about, folks. Okay, but if we don't, you know, if we don't put the hand to the plow and not look back, if you expect God's going to do a new thing, you've got to go before him in the mornings. Hear the Lord. I mean, not necessarily every in the morning, can be any time, but the morning is a good time, right? Now, let me kind of bring this to a conclusion. You see, new is always exciting, but it's risky. Okay? There's some risks to it. And you know what the risk is to new? The risk to new is I haven't been that way before. I don't know what that's like. And that's a little scary. There's some fear when it comes to new because we're not sure of what exactly is going to happen. And here's the questions that we have to ask ourselves is, what is God saying to you? Seriously now. What is God saying to you? And what is he asking of you? Do you know? Do you know what he's asking of you? Do you know what he's saying to you? You see, to know what God is saying and to know that it is God, we really have to do three things. Number one is whatever is of God, whatever word comes from God, has to be rooted in the past. It's in his truth. It's never going to deviate from this book, from his word, you see? Because there's always danger in new. Am I really hearing from the Lord or is it something else? He's not going to deviate from the scriptures. He's not going to deviate from the truth. It's rooted in the past. It doesn't violate the Torah. It doesn't violate God's laws. It can't, because it can't be from God. Okay? That's number one. Number two, to experience what God's saying to us in a new way, it's always going to take faith. It means stepping out beyond your normal means, your natural ways, the things that you normally do. It means taking a step into somewhat of the unknown. Because the scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is faith? But faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the certainty of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You don't know it. You haven't experienced it before, but God said it. And so consequently, I'm going to take the step and I'm going to go ahead and do it and rely on the Lord. Okay? It always takes faith if it's a word from the Lord. If it's just kind of the ho-hum, oh, well, you know, such and such. You know, that's, let me give you an example of what I mean. Sometimes, you know, we're open to prophetic words here, and that's good. And I've been around a lot of various congregations where prophetic words are given, and that's fine. A lot of times you'll hear somebody get up and says, thus says the Lord. You know, the Lord, I love you. Okay, that's true. That is definitely true. God does love you. But you see, what's new about that? Okay? I mean, that's just kind of like, okay, we can read that in the scripture. But it's another thing when the Lord challenges us, maybe through a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, highlights something in our lives that exposes the hidden things in our hearts. That's what the scripture says prophecy is supposed to do. It's supposed to expose what's in our hearts and reveal it to us and to the Lord. And then it's like, oh no. You know, it's God saying, you need to give this up. No, no. You know, I can't give this up. I can't yield this, Lord, because this is the way it's always been. It could be a word from the Lord because it takes faith. It's a place where you haven't been before. And number three is that a word from the Lord, something new from the Lord, is usually going to be connected to your community that you worship in, either directly or by a blessing. Blessing from the community. What do I mean by that? It's because a lot of times we want to hear something new. Oh, I want to go out and do this for the Lord, or I feel like God's calling me to do that. And it's completely disconnected to anything that the community of faith that you're involved in. Well, that's not likely the Lord. Because whether it was in Israel or in the body of Messiah, we are all connected together. We're all moving together. Yes, we're individuals, but we're also part of a larger whole. And we're trying to accomplish something as a whole, not only as parts. We need one another, and we are accountable to one another. And sometimes God says to us that it's time to move on, you know, to another place. But then the goal is for that community that you're in right now is to bless you to the next place. Because the community must bless into another community. You're not to be a lone ranger in God. There's no such thing. You see, God is doing something new in this entire congregation and for you. And the question is, are you willing to get on board with what God wants to do new in your life? Are you on board? But also, are you connected to the community? Are you connected to this congregation, to the old? Are you on board here? They go hand in hand together. And as we come into this year, this new year, we need to understand the new and the old, they work together. There's not one apart from the other. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord, and yet it's connected with the old, which is the truth, and so on. And what I want to do to close today is this. I want everybody to stand on their feet. And let's take a hand of somebody next to you. Let's take hands across the aisle. Okay? Because this is a community, folks. We are part of a community. And we're going to pray and be opened to the new thing that the Lord wants to do to you and to us. But we also want to be open to the new thing that the Lord wants to do as a congregation. Okay? So let's just pray. Father, we come before you today. Lord, you said in your word, behold, I am doing a new thing, says the Lord. And Father, in the name of Yeshua, we want to be ready to receive that new thing, oh God. the new word that you're speaking into our lives, the restoration, Lord, that you want to bring about in our lives, that new word, Lord, we don't want to miss it this time. Lord, I feel we have missed it at time from time to time, but Lord, you don't want us to miss it now, Lord. You want us to have our ear close to you to hear the new thing that you're speaking, Lord. But Father, we as a community are connected together, Lord. We are bound to one another, Lord God. And Father, we want that new thing to be part of the whole, not independent of the whole, Lord. And Father, we say in the name of Yeshua, Lord God, to expose everything that has blocking, Lord God, our relationships with one another, Lord. Father, every bad feeling that we have, every serious doubt that we have about another person, a lack of forgiveness, Lord God, that we might have towards another person, an irritation that we have, Lord, expose these things, oh God. Father, because we are connected together, Lord, and working together, and expose these things, Lord, and help us to come into the light, to be made new, Lord God, so that we can then get on with getting on with what you are accomplishing in our lives. Lord, we desire to receive all that you have from us, Lord God, for this coming year, Lord. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.